This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. This is episode 46, or possibly 45B. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to call it, but before I publish it, you can bet that I'll have figured it out. I am back with Saba, and in part one of the conversation with Saba, we kind of riffed on Snapchat, why you should be on it or maybe why you shouldn't, and what it's doing and maybe what it shouldn't be doing. We talked about whether or not re-snaps would fit, whether they wouldn't, and we were supposed to cover some of Saba's favorite people to follow on Snapchat, but we're going to do that today in part two. So what I want to talk about in part two was what I originally wanted to talk about in part one. But Saba and I just love talking to each other so much that we just decided to riff on Snapchat. So Saba, today here's what I'd like to do for part two. I want to play the Snapchat strategy game where I give you companies and I would like you on the spot to kind of come up with how you would advise them to use Snapchat in their social strategy.
Let's do it.
Does that sound like
fun? This will be fun. This will be a challenge. I like it.
It will be a challenge. Now, for all of those out there listening, I want to be clear. I'm not advocating that you drop all of your other social activity and focus exclusively on Snapchat. But
if you did, I would love you.
Anywho.
I'm kidding.
Since Saba is an evangelist for the Snapchat platform and someone who uses it quite frequently and advises brands on it, and I'm a little bit more wait and see, especially given the type of clients I have, I thought it would be a good idea to just let you kind of run the show here. So I'm gonna kind of guide you, but ultimately I want you to talk to people that are listening about how they might be able to use Snapchat. And I'm gonna give you a couple examples, but let's start at the top. Let's just real quickly, if you could give me, assuming that we're talking about the perfect example, tell me why a company should put their money in Snapchat instead of somewhere else. If they have a limited budget and they have to decide between Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, etc., and it's the ideal situation, you're making the case for them, why should they put their chips on Snapchat?
Okay. So the first thing I would tell them is that Snapchat has the attention. Snapchat has the audience. Snapchat has all of the things that they are looking to do in order to A, either create content or build a brand or a community, right? Because the two cases that we're looking at is either you're a company like Coca-Cola, right, who has brand awareness, who already has fans. You're going to get all these people that are adding you, right? So you just have to create content. You have to feed the audience, right? Or you're going to be a brand that says, hey, no one knows about me and I'm trying to build brand awareness, right? So in either case, you end up in the same place of Snapchat is a great way to build an audience and to create content because that's where the attention is and the amount of resources and time that it takes relative to the other platforms that they have as options is so much lower. And why is it so much lower? It's because a lot of the content that you should be sharing on Snapchat that is going to be the most entertaining on Snapchat, you're probably already doing those things, right? And do you want me to just jump into some examples?
Go for it.
That's probably the best way. Okay. So I'm gonna give an example, actually. This is completely something that happened to me while I was – so I was coming back from South by Southwest. I was doing Snapchat for a client there. And I sat next to this individual. We ended up high-fiving because there was a seat between us and it was empty. And it was the only empty seat on the plane. We were super stoked. We started chatting. You know, I asked him, you know, oh, were you at South by? He said yes. And I said, what do you do? He said, I run a YouTube channel. I'm not going to mention the YouTube channel. He runs a YouTube channel. It's very, very large. He's had it for a decade and he has 8 million subscribers on this channel. Okay. He is the CEO. He is the founder. They are pushing out YouTube and Facebook content daily. And so I asked him, I said, what are your thoughts on Snapchat? And I just by assumption, I said, you know, if this guy loves video, he should love Snapchat, right? Like this should be like a no-brainer for him because it's easy production. It's there's no post-production and you can just share everything. And his answer to me was, we don't have the time or the resources to get on Snapchat. We can barely keep up with our production schedule for YouTube and Facebook. And so then we got into a discussion, right? And the discussion really was, well, you're already doing all the things that you should be showing on Snapchat. And what do I mean by that, right? They're spending every day strategizing what the next video should be. They're spending time creating that content and taping it. They're spending time going to events and networking in Los Angeles. They're spending time editing. They have 60, 70 employees that work there, right? All they have to do to activate their Snapchat is to utilize everything that they're already doing. They need to share the behind the scenes. The founder has to share his experience at South by Southwest and Snap while he is there. He has 8 million fans that are going to care about what happens before that video hits YouTube or hits Facebook, right? They're already creating that content. All they have to do is give the account login information to one of their employees, right? Every day can be a different employee and say, hey, snap your way through your day. What is it like to work there? I guarantee you that there are people that want to consume this content. And then I came to a startup here in San Francisco, which where I'm at right now, and I randomly just asked the table, hey, do you guys know about this YouTube channel? They said, this guy said, oh my God, yeah, I've actually been trying to connect with this guy because he's very big in the media online video space. And I said, that's so funny. I met him. He's great. I can connect you with him, but I have a question for you. If he was on Snapchat, would you be on there? He said, oh my God, totally. Like, I love them. Like, that would be so cool, right? It's about perspective, right? We are so used to saying Facebook is for this, Twitter is for this, which is completely fine. But at the end of the day, people want to see the raw behind the scenes. Who are the people that are creating this? Who are the people that are really working on this? What are the challenges? What does this really take? They want to see the bigger picture, right? And so for a company like that, it doesn't take any extra time or resources in a way that is even comparable to what they would have to do for other platforms. And I think that would be my argument for just that one specific example.
Okay. I think that that's an excellent example. So, okay, so it's there are definitely opportunities to use it to show the real and all of that. The next piece is, I want you to talk about, so let me back up. Okay, so why is it a good place? We've covered that part. The second piece I want to cover is, I walk into a room, I say Snapchat to a room full of CEOs, and I get little giggles that that's where people send disappearing nudies. How right. can you quickly give the case to a 55, 60-year-old CEO that this is a place that they should invest some time?
Yeah. Well, the first thing you're going to tell them is that Facebook has 8 billion daily video views and Snapchat has 8 billion daily video views. There are large venture capitalists like Mark Suster who are on the platform, Gary Vaynerchuk who is on the platform. There are large companies like Target, Airbnb, SoulCycle, Apple Music. I mean, the list goes on to the brands that are actually spending money on these platforms because they know the attention is there. The third thing I would tell them is that the baby boomers are, or I'm sorry, the millennials are going to outspend the baby boomers by 2017. So what does that mean? They're going to say, oh, my demographic doesn't live on Snapchat. Well, millennials are going to become your demographic very, very quickly, okay? Video is where it's at, whether it's going to be like VR, whether it's going to be artificial intelligence, whether it's going to be 360 video. Video is how people are consuming content. Why is it that Snapchat, it was incepted in 2011 and has now caught up to the video views of Facebook? Is because it was video-centric, right? It focused where the future was going to be. And the CEOs have to be thinking about how they're going to not only be influencing their target audience for sales today, but how they're going to do it in 5 years. And where are people going to be consuming that content for 5 years? And in 5 years, I'm sorry. And I would also tell them that they don't have to redefine their whole social strategy on Snapchat, right? What they have to do is they just have to transfer it over to it, right? And also, Snapchat in terms of metrics might not, we mentioned this in part one. If they missed that episode, they should definitely listen to that, but I'm going to reiterate it here. Snapchat has metrics. It does not have a web version where you can pull it out and grab things, but you can screenshot those numbers. Those numbers are real. It doesn't have to be real only through a web application, right? You can't target necessarily, but if you decide to move your audience or grow your audience and know how to do that on Snapchat with good content, you can get more bang for your buck on Snapchat that you can on Facebook. Because at the end of the day, everything is relative, right? If I had the option of advising a client between Facebook and Snapchat and say, and they said, you have 6 months, I would go all in on Snapchat. Why? Because it's less busy, there's more attention, and it's easier and it's quicker for me to make content. And I'm constantly pushing things out. Whereas Facebook, the production value is high, I probably have to pay for that content to be seen, and I'm not really guaranteed that I'm going to get traction because I'm going to be competing with every other company out there like mine. And so I think that it's important to understand that when something is not highly adopted by the masses, and I do think that Snapchat is kind of getting there at this point, you have disproportionate amount of advantage if you get on it now. And when you wait, marketers are going to ruin it, and then there's going to be the next thing, right? So being ahead of the curve is very important. I want to mention one more thing. I was at a Contently event at South by Southwest, and there was a panel with David Peck, from head of social for PayPal, head of social for Coca-Cola, and head of social for SoulCycle. And one of the interesting things that they all said is that they measure ROI based on engagement. That is the only metric the metrics of engagement, I'm sorry. So are people commenting? Are people sharing? Are they, going forward with a call to action? Those are all things that are very, very clear to measure on Snapchat. And that's why they were talking about how they should either be on Snapchat and how they really need to get on it. So Coca-Cola is on Snapchat, but they use influencers. SoulCycle has been on Snapchat for ages now. They do no paid social content, and they are at the top of the social media game. And SoulCycle is not only a cycling company, but they are a lifestyle brand, right? They have really carved out a niche for themselves. And PayPal says the same things. PayPal says, we need to figure out how to be on Snapchat properly, because the issue is that all these other platforms, they don't always measure the right things, and it's very difficult. So if we can move our audience to Snapchat, and we can just only measure the things that matter, because that's the only things that Snapchat really cares about, it's a huge advantage for us.
Hey everyone, my apologies for the interruption, but I need to pause real quick just to thank our sponsors and partners who make this show possible. Today I want to point out a partner of ours. It's a piece of software that we use called Contactually. Contactually is a CRM, and I know that when most people hear the word CRM, they let out a collective groan, because if they're a marketer or a salesperson, they probably have these painful memories of multiple months of setting up, reporting issues, unintuitive interfaces, just awful experiences. And realistically, most salespeople just want to be able to visualize their pipeline and keep in touch with the people who matter and who are important. How hard should that really be? But I'll tell you, when I think of CRM, I actually think of something different, because I'm staying top of mind with my network and I'm keeping in touch with my prospects. And when I meet someone at an event, I'm going to have a wealth of information about them and an email in their inbox by the next morning. How do I do it? Contactually. Contactually is a CRM that is designed to maintain relationships and close deals. I can personally tell you that it has been wonderful for our business. For small businesses and individual salespeople, Contactually is the CRM you've been waiting for. It took me about 3 to 5 hours to set it up initially, and after that, I was keeping in touch with about 30 to 50 more people per week, and no, I am not exaggerating. So if you don't have a CRM or you're unhappy with your current CRM, try Contactually, totally risk-free for 30 days. If you hate it, you've lost nothing. But if you love it, trust me when I tell you that it pays for itself faster than you can believe. Learn more and try it for free by visiting truevoicemedia.com/CRM. Interesting. I mean, to me, if I ever ran into a CMO that told me that their number one ROI metric is engagement, I would laugh in their face personally. But that's partly because I work with companies that really, they need to see dollars and cents when they're putting out dollars and cents. And I'm not saying that engagement is not important, but I think that a lot of the social media community has done a disservice to its own community by hyping that metric when it can't directly be tied back to business results. And, you know, and like I said, well, I think it's important.
Well, they were, okay, so they weren't saying that, it's not sales. Mm-hmm. They were just saying that, maybe I explained it, you know, incorrectly, but they were just saying that they don't look at followers, they don't look at likes, they don't look at impressions. They look at comments, they look at shares, they look at higher KPIs that some people might not think is important, and they don't look at the vanity metrics. That's really what they were saying.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool. That makes
sense. Yeah, they weren't saying they don't care about sales, right? They care about sales, obviously, but when it goes down to it, they don't even look at followers, right? Like, they don't even look at likes. Like, they don't even care about those things. It's all about, you know, the shares and the comments. Like, that's really what they care about. And that's how they, and like the virality of a piece of content, right? Like, did it get coverage here or there? Or like, you know, did people really end up like uploading it themselves on YouTube? So little things like that.
Got it. Okay, cool. That makes more sense. Okay. So, let's talk a little bit about a couple different examples of companies or businesses of sorts. And I'd like you to talk to me about how you would advise them, just quick strategy on the spot, of how you would advise them to use Snapchat.
Okay.
So the first one is a real estate agent. What would you tell a real estate agent that serves, let's say, several areas, several neighborhoods in a specific city? Take your city, my city, any city. They serve a couple different areas. They work with people who buy houses in a particular price range. What would you tell them to do with Snapchat?
Yeah. So I would first tell them to start using Snapchat in a way that kind of documents their day and what they do, and really try to capture their personality, because in real estate, you usually choose your real estate agent based on like who they are and how they act, right? Like, if your real estate agent doesn't really match your personality, you're probably not going to be working with them, right? So I think that would be the first thing. Really make sure that their personality comes out, for them to be very personable, and to talk about sort of what they know about the real estate market. So if you're a new real estate agent, you talk about, hey, I'm fresh, I'm young, I'm, you know, hustling, I'm doing this, I'm going out there, I'm figuring out what the best locations are, what the best houses on the market are, and you're documenting all those things, right? In addition to that, you're talking about that area specifically, right? So you're saying like, oh, this school is really great. Oh, this has this feature, that feature. A lot of this is location-based, right? And so they're trying to geographically be very specific. I would definitely tell them that in their social strategy, they should think about investing in a custom geofilter, maybe for like a day or two. It'll cost them $10, $15, right? Like, literally less than a tank of gas. And to say, this is going to be really good for you, because there's always people thinking about either buying a home or selling a home, right? And if they're in that area, they're going to be swiping through their Snapchat and they're going to see, hey, you know, oh, there's that real estate agent. I don't look at the calendars they send to my house or like the weird marketing collateral that I get, right? Because I live on my phone. I live on my mobile. So you're trying to reach them and you're trying to create awareness. And the best way to do that is to show them how you're going about being a real estate agent and making sure that you're showing them different properties. I actually have a friend who's a real estate agent in Orange County, and I follow her Snapchat, and she does a really good job of showing all the properties that she goes and visits, and she talks to the owners, and she shows the if they're remodeling the house for it to go on the market, she shows that part of the process. She really just documents things, and it's more of like an educational vlog. And I think that's how a real estate agent should go about their social strategy on Snapchat.
How would they go about building their network aside from the geo filters? How can they go about getting a following so that people even know that they're there and they exist? Because you can imagine if a real estate agent for 2 months does this and 14 people open up a Snap of theirs, they're going to start to say, well, what's the return on my time investment? How would you advise that they go about building that network?
Yeah. So they would have to use – I don't advise anyone use Snapchat in a vacuum. So with any social network, you need to have a complementary network that you're utilizing to leverage, right? So I think for real estate agents, I think Facebook is probably their best option. So if they have a Facebook-like page, or if they have a office that they go to, right? Or if like they have a local gym that they go to, for them to actually print out maybe like their snap code and leave it there and ask them, hey, you know, could you just leave this there or distribute it, or have their, with their business cards, when they go to networking events, have their snap code on the back of it, right? You're constantly trying to build awareness and tell people, hey, this is where I'm creating my content. This is where you can get to know me. This is where you can chat with me. And that's the important thing, right? With service-based businesses like that, it's important for the person to be very accessible, right? So if I'm choosing or I'm thinking about buying a house, I can just quickly message that real estate agent on Snapchat. It's really easy for me to do this, right? And I've seen this over and over and over again on my Snapchat, where people are like, they message me and they say, hey, are you available for coaching? Hey, are you available for consulting? Because I'm accessible, I'm there. And they need to be there, they need to be accessible, they need to be personable, and they have to use the current marketing strategies they're using to leverage that to grow their Snapchat. So like I said, making sure that their snap code is on their business card. If they have an office, a brick and mortar, for their snap code to be in front of their, you know, on their office window or on their door or wherever they feel like there's going to be traffic, right? If they go to a networking event, talk about it. Maybe change their Facebook page profile picture to a snap code and let people know that's how they're going to be getting to know them. Because let's be honest, if you have a friend that's a real estate agent and they're posting pictures of a house, that's not exciting to you, right? But if they're, you know, creating a story on Snapchat, even if you're not on the market currently, you might be interested in real estate and just learning about it, right? Maybe they can talk about the trends. Maybe they can talk about, you know, what's hot on the market. What are the important things you should do if you're buying or selling a home, right? So these strategies are very similar to what you would strategize for like a YouTube channel, right? Or for content marketing on a different platform. You're just moving all of that to Snapchat and you're saying, this is where I'm creating it and here's how accessible I am.
Okay. Got it.
And I also want to mention another thing is that I think Snapchat for businesses like real estate is really good, because there's like this intimacy and this privacy that people are going to feel comfortable talking to you about, right? I mean, they could message you on Facebook, yes, but a lot of times people don't want to like something because maybe like it'll be an indicator for someone else, or they don't want to comment because they don't want someone else to see the comment. And you don't have any of those worries on Snapchat.
Got it. Okay, next example. You ready? A hip-hop group, small hip-hop group, three people, and they, you know, they're about to release their first full-length album, let's say, or mixtape.
Yeah. So they should probably be on like a Facebook or a Twitter. They should be trying to build that audience, and with that, make sure that they tell people, hey, you know, like on Mondays, we're going to be doing like a Q&A about ourselves, right? Like we're just going to be answering questions, like whatever it is, right? Like people love that stuff. And then, hey, on Wednesdays, we're going to be performing our newest song. And then you guys can tell us what you think. So on Wednesdays, make sure you check out our Snapchat, because we're going to be putting all of our new content there. And we want to know what your feedback is, right? And being a small hip hop group, there is a lot of different challenges. There's a lot of risks that you're taking. There's a lot of ups. There's a lot of downs. And there's a lot of people that want to see that stuff, right? They want to see the life of, you know, a struggling artist or someone who's trying to make it, right, in this world. So doing those things are really important, and making sure that you have some kind of consistent content strategy. So like I said, Wednesday is a day where you know, show your new music, right? Monday is the day where you do a Q&A. Maybe Friday is the day that you decide, hey, you know what? Like, we're going to have another band, like, do a takeover for us, right? I think you have to find different ways to engage your audience in a way that actually makes sense for you. And just because you're a small hip-hop band doesn't mean you can't talk about other things, right? So if your hip-hop brand has a very specific aesthetic or style, and you guys are always like repping a certain type of shirt, you guys can talk about like what inspired you to do that, right? So figure out what type of content your audience, the people that you're trying to attract, are gonna like, and a lot of that stuff has to do with the aesthetic and how you approach it. And if you do that, you'll be able to grow that community very well. I think also using Periscope in conjunction with Snapchat would be really good. I've advised that to a few people that I met on Periscope that were, you know, heavy on Periscope. And I said, you know what? Periscope is going to take a long time to become relevant. So what you need to do is you need to take all this traction that you're getting on Periscope, and you need to move all those people onto Snapchat. And I'm gonna recommend that she's someone that we follow later on when we meant to talk about that. But that is a really great strategy, because the good thing is that you're getting in front of a lot of people very, very quickly if you're optimized with your hashtags and your tags, right? So if you're playing music on Periscope, and then you have 50 people in that room, and you say, hey, you know what? We're going to be doing a Q&A, and we're going to be, like, chatting with you guys, and we're going to, like, do the live video chat with each and every one of you, and, like, let us know, like, what song you want us to, like, be inspired by for, like, the next thing we do. Why don't you get on Snapchat, and you literally just show your snap code on Periscope with another person's phone, and they screenshot that, and they upload it.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. All right, next one. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. A local deli, a small deli. They make sandwiches and salads. They're small. They've just opened up. How do they go about doing it?
Yeah. This is cool. I always, and I'm, by the way, I'm answering all of these in a way, not as a social media strategist, but I'm answering these like, if someone told me to follow this account, this is what the content I would want to see. Right.
I think that makes you a good strategist if you do that, because you have to put yourself in the shoes of the customer for this particular type of business and come up with an idea.
Yeah, exactly. So I think for a deli, I think delis have a lot of personality. I don't think I've ever been to a deli where there's, like, you know, someone that's really lame behind the counter. They usually have some sort of really, you know, like, vibrant, almost like pompous personality, which I really, really appreciate and like. I think that the Snapchat content on a deli needs to be very food-centric and needs to be very creative. I know I haven't mentioned a lot of, like, the creative ways that they could, like, storytell with, like, a video or a photo, but, like, that's definitely something they should keep in mind. And what I mean by that is, like, utilizing the emojis, utilizing the drawing features, getting a stylist, and really making sure that, like, the content you put out there is, like, different and it's cool and it's unique to, like, you and your brand, right? So going back to the deli, I think you should really focus on, like, how can you photograph all those different salamis and all those different meats and add creative on top of that that makes you really want to go try that, right? Or maybe you could do, like, Taste Tuesday. So on your Snapchat, what you do is you have, like, random customers that come in and you do, like, two 10-second snippets of, hey, like, which one do you want to try? You give it to them, and then the next Snapchat is their reaction and whether they like it or not, right? So you're basically doing, like, live reviews on your Snapchat. The other thing I would do is maybe, you know, take a look at the behind the scenes, like, oh, you know, like, this is how we source our meat. This is how, like, it comes in. This is really fresh, you know, on this day, like, this is, like, maybe the meat we have on sale. Maybe do flash sales on Snapchat. That's a really great way to get people to follow you on Snapchat to say, hey, you know, this is exclusive content. So if you follow us, we're going to give you a code in our Snapchat story that allows you to get, you know, 20% off that day or something like that, 20% off the next day. And so you're constantly creating urgency. You're constantly creating exclusivity within Snapchat so that you gain more of a community. So I think for local businesses that sell products, I think flash sales and having some sort of contest works really, really well, because people get excited and then you make them, you have a call to action and you can measure it really well. So you say, hey, this is the coupon code, this is the discount code, and you kind of go from there.
You know what else I would do? Just one that I just thought of is, If you're a small deli and there's a number of other places around you that serve sandwiches, you could do a geocode that a custom geofilter that you fence around every other sandwich shop in your neighborhood with a message that says, come get a better sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, custom geofilters for delis are amazing, because you could be so funny and creative and quirky and people are going to be like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Like, this place has character, right? And we know in this day and age, consumers are smart. consumers are smarter and smarter as the day goes, as the year goes by, right? And so they're constantly looking for ways of like, how can I associate myself with a cool brand, right? Because there are so many options out there, right? There's a million places that I can go buy workout clothes, but I choose to buy it at Lululemon for the most premium price because of what it represents, right? So people's buying decisions are very, very complex, yet very, very simple. People want to be cool. People want to stand out. People want to be associated with things that other people that they like are associated with, right? So if you can create an amazing donut brand, right, because your donut says, oh, we're better than every other donut, then you're going to win, right? And so Snapchat, because of the creativity that you can have in there natively, allows you to do that, right? Where I don't think that a Facebook page allows you to do, right? Because it's very static.
Gotcha. All right. Last one. You ready for the last one? You feeling good about this so far?
Feeling good. How are my answers?
I think that they're pretty spot on. You're giving pretty much what, for the most part, I would have anticipated. You're talking about behind the scenes. You're talking about exclusivity and scarcity. You're talking about, stuff that's kind of quick production value, but that it really makes sense and it connects people to the brand. So spot on.
Yeah, one thing we haven't mentioned, maybe this next example will bring it in, but education is a big one that I talk about a lot as well.
Okay, cool. Well, the final one, I'm going to give it to you in just 1 second, but for those that are listening, if you are a real estate agent, a hip hop group, or a local deli, you can reach either Saba or myself, and we can either work together or individually to help you use Snapchat for your business. Final one, an online fabric store. It's a store that sells fabric. Different types of ribbons or, different types of materials. They're online only, no brick and mortar, and they sell fabric. How would you use Snapchat?
The first thing that came to mind, I absolutely love quotes. And what I would do is I would basically take pictures of the different fabrics that you guys sell and write like a little description, but then also with every Snapchat, like overlay like a quote. And I don't know if you've seen me do this, Jeff, but like sometimes I have like music that's playing. So they could just like record a video where they don't move it and they have the music playing. And then there's like this certain type of fabric and then they add a quote on top of it, right? It's like a daily dose of like quote of the day, but like they do it in a way that's actually highlighting their fabric, which is really cool. So that's like a cool way to say like, hey, every like morning, you're going to have your daily dose from us, right? I think another thing that would be cool is to talk about like, why people choose the fabrics that they choose, and also talk about like maybe some of the, if they could, some of the clients that they work with, and like basically how their product is like a means to an end for a business, right? Because I'm assuming this is wholesale. Is that correct?
Yeah. In this example, let's use wholesale.
Well, I mean, it makes it harder, but I mean, I just assumed it was, but that's how I would utilize it. Like find a way to be interesting. So like, I mean, everyone needs fabric, right? Like it's just a matter if they care about how you're telling that story. So doing like, a quote of the day, maybe doing like a feature of like a cool brand that uses really great textiles would be really awesome, right? Because there's like some brands that really do a good job of sourcing like their fabrics, right? Like there's some brands that use a lot of leather. And you're like, oh, this brand uses a lot of leather. They buy from us. It's really cool, this and that. So I think that would be a really great way. I think custom geofilters I would do across the board. That's not really something. I mean, that it comes down to like, what would that geofilter look like? Where would you run it? How much do you want to spend on it? And what is the creative going to look like so that it really captures it and people use the geofilter? Because you really need them to use it, right? It needs to be generic enough that they want to use it, and then it needs to be specific enough that they remember and it makes some sort of impact. So I think for that fabric company, I think it's about how can they be interesting, right? How can they content market in a way that is different and that like really helps them stand out? Like what does their brand represent? And I would have to know a little bit more because I can't think of off the top of my head, but like, are they like a mom and pop place? Are they like super trendy? Was it opened by you know, someone that, you know, skipped college. I mean, you know, what is the story, you know, and how are you going to spin that story to create content every day?
Dig it. Saba, that was one, two, three, four different businesses that you just strategized on the fly. And hopefully at least one of those businesses was listening and will be excited to talk to you. But either way, I think it kind of showcases the four different examples. I purposely picked some very different sort of situations, like somebody who's transient, somebody that's in entertainment, somebody that's a brick and mortar that sells food, and another that's a, you know, kind of a actual location warehouse sort of thing, but only exists online. And within each of those, you've given some really good examples of how they can take this this medium of Snapchat and apply it to raise some awareness. We didn't get too deep into how to actually, we didn't use much in the way of like links and screenshots and things like that to drive people to a page.
You can just to, yeah, just to like touch on that really quickly. You can put links into the chat. So if you put a link in there, you can click on it and it'll take you out of the app and it'll take you into Safari. So that's completely doable. What other example I want to give really, really quickly, because I wanted to touch on this specific strategy is education, is if you are like a tax accountant, right? Like that is the most probably unsexy thing, right? But it's the highest on the necessity scale. So for them, like I would love to follow a tax accountant on Snapchat and just get like literally if they just did 10 snaps a day, right? 10 second videos of tips about taxes or like what you didn't know or like what you should know or maybe deadlines that are coming out, like whatever it is about taxes, like educate, because there are so many questions. And the same thing goes for like an insurance company that sells 401ks and home insurance, right? People have a million questions. You think they want to go on Google and click 12 different links and figure out if that's going to be quality content? Or they can just get to know one insurance company that sells these products, right, at a competitive price and say, hey, you know what? We're going to help you. We're going to educate you. We're going to help you make the best decisions. If every company decided to think like that, to think about how can we help our audience? How can we help our community? How can we add value? I know these are very generic things, but that could really solve a lot of problems. And I was having this exact conversation with an insurance company at South by Southwest because they were completely against Snapchat. And I said, you know what? I think that you are completely doing a disservice to your community by not educating them, by thinking that you don't need to be on Snapchat and they don't want to consume you on Snapchat. The thing is that if the content is good, they will follow the content. If you tell them we are going to be doing videos about health insurance or doing it about home insurance or 401k or Roth plans and all these things, they're going to listen. And do you know why? Because Expedia does this. Expedia does an amazing job of utilizing live stream. They have a weekly blab show and they do a daily Periscope. Expedia, or not Expedia. Why am I saying Expedia? Let me just restart that. Hold on. It's Experian. I'm retarded. All right. One example of a company that does this really well is Experian. Experian is a credit score company. Now, credit scores are things that people want to run away from, right? Like in the opposite direction, 100 miles an hour. Now, how are they doing live streaming really well? They are utilizing Blab once a week to have a community discussion, and they are doing a daily Periscope. And they address financial questions and problems that people have, and they bring influencers in the space, like bloggers or maybe people from an institution or maybe internally people who are experts about certain things, to really help educate and to answer the questions and to almost like ease financial anxiety. And so why can't an insurance company do this, right? I think that so many times companies decide to pigeonhole themselves and tell themselves, hey, I can't do this, or our audience doesn't care about this, and they say, oh, we're B2B or we're not B2C. And I say, well, I'm sorry, do you do business with people? And they say, yeah. Well, I say, okay, well, people are on these platforms and they're consuming content.
Got it.
That's how I feel. I wanted to bring that education piece up because I think that's an important one.
No, absolutely. I think it's funny. You and I come at this from a very different perspective, and it's why I think our conversations about Snapchat in particular are so, at least to me, they're very interesting, because I think we fundamentally, through our experiences with clients and just our own technology preferences, see the world in a very different way as it relates to online. So it's always right. good to get your perspective on it. And I always appreciate the examples you bring to the table and the way that you see things. And it's just, I think it's, you're really on point with things. And it's eye-opening, which is important because as we move about through our career and we learn things, we kind of get set in certain things. And I think that yes. you're a very refreshing perspective on things. So thank you for, as always, challenging me as I challenge you and coming on the show to educate all of the peoples that would be listening.
You're welcome. I appreciate that. No, I always appreciate a conversation where there's two sides of the story because I think that's the only way people can really learn. And my objective is never to necessarily always convince people that I am right. But I think that for me, it's really important for them to understand the perspective that I'm coming from because I think that's the important thing. And that's where they can really learn and leverage and possibly maybe even gain something, right? So I always learn from you, Jeff. The questions that you ask are always very insightful, very diligently put together. And I think that having a fruitful conversation with someone that always doesn't see eye to eye with you is very, very important to do to keep yourself sharp.
Yeah, I mean, I think we tend to have a conversation that moves us both a little bit out of where we were standing. And I think part of the reason why I like having you on the podcast for that reason is that, and especially with a conversation like Snapchat, is that a lot of the people that are listening are still on the fence about it. And I come from one perspective, you come from another perspective. And I think that anybody listening to a conversation we have about Snapchat can probably sit in both of our seats at one point or another and see, okay, well, that makes sense. Well, that doesn't make sense. Or this one resonates with me or that part doesn't. And, you know, hopefully, if nothing else, we've stirred the pot a little bit and shaken people up who are listening. So hopefully those of you that are listening, we hope to have shaken you up. And for those of you that are listening, we would love all of your feedback on this because Saba and I have now had, what, three conversations on the podcast about Snapchat and countless ones off of Snapchat. So we would really love to get some feedback from you, the audience, about what it is that you think about Snapchat, how it fits in your marketing. Are you a believer? Are you a cynic? Where do you fall on it? And that'll help to kind of direct any future conversations we have about Snapchat or really anything else. But Saba, I want to thank you for sticking around for both parts one and part two, for strategizing on the fly, and for always being such a wonderful guest on my show.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I hope that your audience finds value, and if they have questions, they know how to reach both of us.
Excellent. So I'm going to ask you to once again tell people where they can go and find you, connect with you on social, and be social with you.
Yes, I'm on Twitter, Saba Sedighi, S-A-B-A-S-E-D-I-G-H-I. I'm also on Instagram, as well as Snapchat. Snapchat would be probably the best way to get a hold of me. It is the most direct and easy way, and it's my favorite way to, you know, see someone's face, hear their voice. It's very intimate. I love it. And I could really answer your questions or have a dialogue with you about any comments that you have regarding any of the content that we spoke about. And if you feel more comfortable, my email is saba@istreamsocial.com. I'm assuming it's going to be in the show notes. I did want to take 2 seconds to just shout out a few of my favorite Snapchat accounts.
Yes, I totally forgot. I was going to ask you about that. So
yes,
go for it.
So I'm gonna just say what their name is. These people are very, transparent and visible on socials. You can go look up their snap codes and their handles. I'm not gonna go through the spelling. But I'm gonna just really quickly also tell you why I would follow them, just so that you know, if it's not of interest to you, then you don't do that. The first one is Harris Markowitz. He is a Snapchat filmmaker. He does a lot of stop motion content. He is amazing. He is a Snapchatter of the Year finalist. And he is very, very talented about how he uses Snapchat to create really, really intricate Snapchat films, basically through that are 10-second intervals, and he stitches them together, and he does a great job of that. SoulCycle is a great Snapchat account to follow if you're into fitness, women's lifestyle brand. They do a good job of really taking you behind the scenes and doing a lot of cool brand campaigns. The next one is a homegirl of mine in Dubai, literally Anika. She is great. That is her handle, literally Anika. She lives in Dubai in London. She does a lot of travel, a lot of food, and she's really good at utilizing video and music. And she just takes you on an adventure. One day she's in a plane. One day she's on a camel in the Sahara. So it is really fun to follow her. Another one of my favorites is Mike Vacanti. He is a personal trainer as well as hustler in New York City. He will take you through his whole day from the moment he brushes his teeth to the moment that he puts his retainer in. Tells you what he eats, why he eats it, what it takes to really make it in a space if you want to be the best. And last but not least, one of my favorite accounts is Dr. Miami. If you are into medicine, into surgery, he shows you every single moment of it. He is very, very skilled at what he does, and he is also a Snapchatter here.
Fantastic. And I will put all of those in the show notes so that hopefully they can get a little bit more love. I want to put your Snap code in the show notes as well so people can follow you. And awesome. Yeah. And as you keep finding awesome people, would you do me a favor and on Snapchat just snap to me advice on who I should follow? Because I would really like to see some more interesting people. I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of people that I really like following as well, since we're doing that. Yes. One of my favorites is a guy who I met on Snapchat, and I think he tends to do some of the most interesting stories I've ever seen. It's Steven Hoops. It's Steven.Hoops on Snapchat. If you don't follow him,
so, I know who that is.
Okay, cool. I figured you did. His stories are really, really funny. So he's one that I follow all of the time. I personally really like following you, so I'm going to encourage people once again to follow you. Someone who I am like 90% of the time I really like what he puts up. 10% of the time I'm like, meh. But Joelcom. I think Joelcom does a really good job of keeping things fresh, using the platform in an interesting way, and being educational. He does a couple things that bother me, but that's neither here nor there. I also got to give a shout out to my boy, Social Guru, David. He is really effing funny, and I would strongly advise that people follow him. Any others that I think are... I'm not going to reveal some of my guilty pleasures on Snapchat because we all have them. Pet360, just a shout out. My John, who used to work for me, is now kind of leading a lot of the initiatives of their Snapchat. So it's kind of cool. You see all the pets in the office and everything. That's kind of cool. So those are going to be the ones that I'm going to give the shout out for. I'll leave all the rest off, but those are all good people to follow.
Awesome. I will definitely check those people out. Most of them I do follow, but I don't always check out just because I don't have time, but I should. That makes me want to go and click on them now.
Yeah, it's... I really wish we could set our favorites. And I like your hack that you revealed in part one. So for those of you who have only listened to part two, go get on it. Listen to part one. Saba reveals a nifty little hack for how you can put your favorite people easily within thumb's reach. Yeah. So for all of you out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in, hopefully to both parts one and part two. And I hope you have yourself a lovely rest of the day and come back to hear us again real soon. Leave us a review on iTunes and email us and tell us we're great. Take care.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.